I wrote myself some notes. I'm not really following much of an outline today. I'm really going to do some teaching. I really want to talk about what Jesus is going to do this week. This is a Passion Week. Next time we meet will be sunrise. The Lord will resurrection. So we're going to talk about what, between the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and the resurrection, we got a lot in between we're going to talk about of what he did. The Passion Week. Things he said, things he spoke about, stuff he talked about. On the 10th of Nisan, the Passover lamb was selected and prepared to be sacrificed. 4 days after that, the true Passover lamb is now escorted to the place where the Passover would be sacrificed. It's taken from Exodus chapter 12, verse 3 and 6, is the exact time of when the Passover was to be observed. And it's interesting that the exact time of the Passover in the Exodus is also the exact time that Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. I do not believe that's coincidence. I believe that was ordained of God. For the Lord is going to be the true lamb, escorted now to the place where the Passover will be sacrificed. Taking 30 AD to be the date of crucifixion, astronomers inform us that in that year, the first day of Nisan fell on March 24th. Consequently, the 10th would be on Sunday, April the 2nd. And the 14th was reckoned from sunset of Thursday, April the 6th, to the sunset of Friday, April the 7th. Remember that 6 stands for man, 7 for God. Jesus would be crucified on the 7th day, April the 7th. All right, can I have the pictures now? Let's have the map. Let's take the map first. The map I took a picture of is in the back of my Bible. It's a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It's one of the best study Bibles I've ever come across. And I just really want to have a picture of the map so that I can show you where in Jesus' day, while they're getting there, there are three valleys. The Temple Mount is what it is. It's a mount. There's the Kedron Valley is to the right of it. Mount of Olives is up here. Kedron Valley this way. The Temple Mount is where, this section right here. Let's picture this as the Temple Mount, okay? Over here is the Mount of Olives. There's a valley, Kedron Valley right here. Then there's another valley called the Hinden Valley. The Dung Gate is at the end here. It's in this area here, this valley that Jesus talked about, hell being much like Gehenna. In this particular area, the city would take their stuff and burn it, and the dump was burning constantly, and that's why Jesus referred to hell being like Gehenna. He's referring to Gehenna as this valley of Hinnom, where the city dumps was on fire. So then there's another valley, Triphosian Valley. I'm not sure I'm saying that right. I just know there is another valley over here. Valley, valley, valley. Hey, there we go. Can you all see it, or do they need to zoom it again? Okay, there's the Temple Mount. Mount of Olives doesn't show Mount of Olives. The reason I'm showing you this is because of this bridge here. That bridge is no longer there. Instead, there's a highway that comes through here. But that bridge was there in Jesus' day. So Jesus would have came down from the Bethage, located on the third summit of Mount of Olives, which would be here somewhere, about in this location. And then he would have came down across the Mount of Olives, which, by the way, there was no sarcophagus and no coffins, cement boxes there in his day. They just have appeared since his time. So this would have been all available property here, all clean, all clear, and he would have came down from this Bethage where he'd got on the donkey and he'd have rode down. His disciples were following him, and he's coming down through here. Now, probably somewhere around the foot of the Mount of Olives, the Gospel of Luke tells us at the descent of the Mount of Olives, he was met with a multitude. Now, the multitude probably came from this direction here. They had heard about Jesus. They knew Jesus was there. Remember that they're all gathered here because of the Feast of Passover, so they're already here. Now, they've also heard that that Jesus had just resurrected Lazarus. That's another reason why there was people gathering around Jesus, because they wanted to see Lazarus. They heard that he died and Jesus brought him back to life. So there is a group, there's a multitude that meets Jesus probably here someplace, and then there's a multitude behind him. So this multitude here probably just turned around and just keeps going through here, because here's where Jesus goes in the Eastern Gate, and this is a court of the Gentiles. This is where Jesus cleanses this. This is where the money changers are. And he goes in here and he cleanses that. And then this here talks about the footsteps of Jesus during his last days of ministry. That's the footsteps of Jesus. Of course, he's taken to Pilate. Pilate sends, gives him to Herod, and Herod sends him back. Here is a proposed place of Calvary. This doesn't work. Some thought this was it, but that's not going to work. When you study the scriptures, you find that any time that there was a sacrifice done, it was done where? Not in the wall. It was done where? Out here. So this can't work. The sacrifice cannot take place within the walls. That cannot work. So we go to Gordon's Calvary. It's considered Gordon's Calvary. And this meets all the specifications for the Calvary because it's known as the place of the skull. Also, there's a wine press there, and there's a garden nearby. So this fits the bill right here. This fits it, not this one. This one doesn't work. And some of the pictures I had showed you was from this area, so I didn't spend much time there. That was man's idea. This was God's idea here, because the sacrifice had to take place outside the walls, or in the Old Testament, outside the camp. Okay? Old Testament, outside the camp. Everything had to be done outside the camp. We're in Jerusalem, it's got to be done outside the camp. That works, okay? While we're on it, you might as well give the next picture. It should be the one on the pilgrims. Oh, this is the tomb of Lazarus. This building is built over the site of the belief that was the cave where Lazarus was resurrected, and then he ended up putting his tomb there. That's Lazarus' tomb. Next picture. This is the church on top of Bethage. Bethage is the third summit on the southern slope of Mount of Olives. We're on the southern slope. There's another summit here, and there's another summit over here. Okay, next picture. Should be the pilgrims with their palm leaves. There we go. It'll be at this church where they have gathered. They probably did that to sometime today. They've got these big palm branches. And this wall is a sloped wall. Over here is Jerusalem. There's the Dome of the Rock. There's the wall. That should be the Eastern Gate here somewhere. The Eastern Gate should be here somewhere. There's two arches, and it should be the Eastern Gate right here. This is the pinnacle of the temple. No, I'm sorry, it's down here. Pinnacle of the temple was right there. And the Eastern Gate is right here. Now, Jesus would have went across that bridge and went through the Eastern Gate and would have ended up in the court of the Gentiles. So this ramp goes all the way down, beyond down about in here somewhere, the Garden of Gethsemane is. Then it'll make a turn. And it'll come down along here someplace, and they'll be walking the pilgrim journey, and they'll have to go in down here. I think here someplace they'll have to catch a bus. I don't think they can get across here. I don't know. We took a bus. And they'll have to come in this way and come in by the west wall where the Wailing Wall is. They'd have to come in by the Wailing Wall because all the other gates are closed. And I have something to say about those gates. So during today, when they take this pilgrimage, it would take you from Bethage, the Mount of Olives, to the city of Jerusalem, through St. Stephen's Gate to the Church of St. Anne, and the Pool of Bethesda is where you'd be going by today if you were taking that pilgrimage. St. Anne, by the way, is the parents of Mary. They would be the parents of Mary, the mother of Jesus. When Nehemiah built, and I wrote this down, The gates of Jesus, in Jesus' time, he gave each of them a name: the Mustard Gate, Dung Gate, Water Gate, Valley Gate, Assian Gate, Fountain Gate, Horse Gate, Sheep Gate, Fish Gate, Old Gate, and East Gate. That's 11. Currently, there's only 8 gates to the old city, and only 7 of them are in use. Most of them were rebuilt over the old gates. The East Gate's the oldest one, which I mentioned there in front of the Dome of the Rock. It's the oldest and is likely the one that Jesus used because it was the most direct route. It was the closest route from the Mount of Olives. It's probably the one that he used. And by the way, it was destroyed in 70 AD. It is currently blocked. It is currently completely blocked. But not blocked hard enough for Jesus, because someday he's going to go through that. When his feet touch the Mount of Olives, there's going to be an earthquake. And when that earthquake occurs, guess what? He'll be going through right there when that earthquake happens. He'll be going through right there. The earthquake will occur. All right, so to get a time frame, we now must go to another account. We're going to go to Mark's account. We have any other pictures? Check the next one out. Oh, okay, that's the same ramp I'm telling you about. That's the ramp that goes down in front of Mount of Olives. They're headed down, by the way, to the Garden of Gethsemane. See those trees? That's Gethsemane. Those trees is Gethsemane. And that's the Church of Agony. In that church is where they have the stone that they believe Jesus was on that stone when he prayed. Now I want you to picture, here's what happened when they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, Gethsemane was, I think, much larger than this originally. I think they probably got rid of some trees because I think it was larger than. I think Gethsemane was more like this area, this whole center. It says that Jesus went a stone throw further. So if this is Garden of Gethsemane, the first place that Jesus stopped is he left off the disciples here. He said, now will you tarry and pray with me? Tarry and pray with me. So then he went a little further, about right there in the center. And he took with him Peter, James, and John. Remember the three he took with him to the Mount of Transfiguration? The same three disciples he takes in the Garden of Gethsemane, he brings them about there. The other disciples are here. Peter, James, and John are here, and he told them the same thing. Tarry with me. And then it said that Jesus went about a stone throw further, and Jesus went by himself. So there was three sets here. Main disciples, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. Okay, and that was there. Garden of Gethsemane, Church of Agony. Do we have any more pictures? Okay, that's just the front of the Church of Agony. Garden of Gethsemane's here. The oldest olive tree I took a picture of is standing somewhere right here on the other side of the church. It's the oldest one believed to have been back at the time of Jesus. Could have dated back during the time of Jesus. This is just the inside of this church, and right there is the stone. You know, the stone is right here. That's the stone they believe that. The stone's probably as big as this is square up here, right where I'm standing. That's how big the stone is, right? Square. And they believe that's where Jesus prayed, that he prayed on that stone. Who knows? Only Jesus knows. All right, let's go to Luke. We're going to go to the book of Luke now. Luke has some more information for us. We were in Matthew. This is Luke's rendering of it. Luke has some more information. Actually, Luke gives us a time frame here. He gives us a time frame. Where I want to go. All the reading there is very similar to what we read in Matthew. So we're going to go to verse 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple. And when he had looked around upon all things, we can see there's a pause there. There's a comma. And now the evening time was come, and he went out to Bethany with the 12. All right, now that gives us a time frame. We know that Jesus taught when he was in the temple. Many times whenever he went to the temple, he usually always was teaching. And we have some recorded, a lot of things that he was talking about. And so he is there, and he is observing what's going on in the temple. Right now, this, Mark said that It was close to evening. He had been there. It says, had looked around upon all things. That's where he was observing what was going on. The next day is when he cleanses the temple. That would be Monday. Okay? This is Sunday. He entered into Jerusalem, and he's looking around, and he's seeing all the stuff going on in there that is really upsetting him. And so he knows, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You've made it a place of thieves. You've made it a place of marketplace is what it is. And he set the up money changers and chased them out. He said, this house shall be called a house of prayer. According to the prophet Jeremiah spoke of it being a house of prayer. And so then that evening he went out into Bethany with the 12. Now it doesn't say Bethany is a place where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. It's also the place where Simon the Pharisee lived that also invited him for supper. And he had a meal there while Mary Magdalene anointed his feet. Okay, so in Bethany, it just says they were in Bethany. And then on tomorrow, there is our time frame, Monday. On the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Now, wait a minute. He was hungry. Doesn't say the disciples were hungry. So that tells me I can read between the lines here. If Jesus is the only one hungry, guess who got fed? The disciples had something to eat. But you know what was common with Jesus? He fasted a lot. And that tells me Jesus was fasting. He probably said, now you fellas, you can just hang out here if you want. That's okay. But I'm going to go spend some time with the Father. And that was his habit. He did that a lot. And that's why he was hungry, because he obviously fasted. He was fasting that night. He didn't have supper. He was hungry. He saw a fig tree having leaves. He came and he would have found anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said, no man shall eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began, here it is, to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables, the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. Okay. And that's when he cites. Now I have to move on because I told you I'm not keeping you like I did last week. I'm watching the time today. All right. I got to go to the back of my Bible because what I want to do is tell you what happened. I'm just going to read what happened. Here's what Jesus is doing. On Monday, he curses a fig tree, he cleanses the temple, and he does healing in the temple. Tuesday and Wednesday, his authority is questioned. They say, by what authority? Now, guess what? This is after the Pharisees see what he did in the temple. They said, by what authority? Who do you think you are? You come in here and just do as you please. Who do you think you are? They're questioning his authority because he just cleansed the temple. They saw what he did. Well, Jesus said, I'll ask you one question. And if you answer it, then I'll answer your question. That's how we'll do this. And so the question that he asked him, let me go to the scripture. I like the question. It was great. I'll have to hunt it quick for you. Oh, he said, how was it that David called me Lord? How is it that David called him Lord, and yet Jesus wasn't then yet there yet, but yet David referred to him as being Lord. How is that? And they couldn't answer the question, so they basically said, well, we can't answer that. Well, the Lord said, I can't answer yours either. All right. So we go on to Tuesday and Wednesday, the parable of the two sons, parable of the wicked husbandman, parable of the king's son, the question of the tribute money. They tried to catch him at everything. They asked these questions because they tried to catch him. Who should we give tribute to, the Pharisees said. Who should we give tribute to? They tried to catch him. They said, well, do you have a coin? They said, sure. Well, whose inscription is on the coin? It's Caesar's. Well, they said, give to Caesar's what's Caesar's and unto God what's God's. Well, that's simple enough. They couldn't catch him, but they tried. The Sadducees had a question. I have time to read all that, but the Sadducees were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And that's what made them sad, you see. So they had a question about the resurrection. They had a question. And they gave this spiel about this guy here married, and then something happened to her, and then he married again, something happened to her. Well, this happened seven times. And then, of course, they said, And, you know, in heaven, whose wife would it be? Well, evidently, you never read the scriptures, because in heaven, there is no marriage, nor are they given in marriage, and they're just like the angels. So you're not reading the Bible. You're obviously not reading it. It's written. They're just like the angels. Okay. That was the Sadducees' question. The great commandment, of course, was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. God pronounced woes against the Pharisees. The widow's mite, remember what that was? He sat over by the treasury as he was in the temple. This all happened Tuesday or Wednesday, one of those days. And so he sat by the treasurer, and this lady just threw a little bit in, and he said she gave more than all those people did because she didn't have anything. She gave what she had. That was all she had left, and she threw it in the offering. The other ones, they gave because they were able to. They could have gave a lot more, but she gave a lot more than they all did. And he made a point of saying that. Then there was the visit of the Greeks. There's a discourse on unbelief, prophecies of coming calamities. That's Matthew chapter 24. Remember, one of the disciples asked him, Lord, look at these beautiful buildings. The Lord says, listen, they are beautiful, but they don't know what's in heaven. You know, these are shacks compared to what Jesus was used to. And so he said, but there's a time coming. He said, there'll not be a stone upon a stone here. And and that prophecy came forth in 70 AD when Titus came in and burned Jerusalem. So that was the discourse on the signs and the coming events. The parable of the 10 virgins, parable of the 10 talents, a discourse on the judgment day and the plot of the Jews and Judas. That's when Judas talks to the Jews, and Dale had that in the Sunday school class. All right, we're on Thursday now. Got to move on. Thursday, the preparation for the Passover, the Passover meal. We had that in the Sunday school class. There's strife among the disciples. Who's going to be the greatest? Boy, that's something they shouldn't have been talking about, because they don't realize. You better watch what you say, because Jesus said, be careful what you ask for. The moms wanted their sons to get the best, but Jesus said, be careful what you ask for. And them disciples all died terrible deaths except John. He's the only one that lived his whole life through. Indeed, they did die terrible deaths. Washing the disciples' feet, the traitor is designated as Judas. Then there's the Lord's Supper. Our Lord's parting words, remember John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. That's his parting words to his disciples. The parable of the true vine, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the intercessory prayer, the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. They have the betrayal. How was he betrayed? Do I have pictures of the steps now? Okay, let's get that quick. All right. He is betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane by a kiss. And Judas kisses him. And they say, where is he? That's King of the Jews, and he says, I am he, and the soldiers fall back. They're scared of him. And he said, I've been in the temple all this time, and you could have came and got me anytime you wanted. Now you come to me with swords and staves. I was in the temple teaching daily, and you didn't bother me. These, check the lower steps. See if we got the lower ones. This is a top step. There's a lower one. This is coming. Oh, where's my pointer at? Did I put it away already? Oh, here it is. This is Gethsemane down in here. They're coming up. This is a pathway that Jesus walked on these steps as he was arrested. And he came up these steps. Now let's take the top steps. That's going up to Caiaphas. These steps are leading to the high priest Caiaphas. Okay, next picture. The only thing that's left in Caiaphas, these are the steps I just showed you. There's no gate there. Now, that was taken at a time when they had no gate there. This is the only thing left of the palace of Caiaphas. These are holding quarters in Caiaphas' basement. They're holding quarters for prisoners until they're able to be indicted. Next picture. These are holding quarters. This is the only thing left that's in Caiaphas' place. This is in his basement. You see this here? You may not see it. Now that, right there. You see this? There's a hole in the rock, and there's a rope tied through there. They knocked a hole in the rock, and there's a rope there, and that's what the prisoners were tied to right there. That's the rope. Jesus could have been tied to right there. He could have been held as a prisoner there. Next picture. Next. Same picture, except you see this little hole? Bathroom facilities. I think that's it. All right. Interesting, isn't it? That's the only thing left in Caiaphas' palace. That's it. Remember, it was in Caiaphas' palace that Jesus was brought before him. Peter followed him. Peter and John followed him. John evidently knew Caiaphas. I don't know what kind of a relationship they had, but John knew Caiaphas. John went in with Jesus to Caiaphas, and then he came back out to Peter. Peter was just outside of Caiaphas' trial. He was warming himself. The officers had made a little fire. It was cold. Peter went to warm himself, and one of the maidens that was doorkeeper said, "You're one of them. You're one of his disciples." He said, "No, I'm not." And then he walked out of the place there to the porch, it said, and he heard the cock crow. And then another maiden came to him and said the same thing, and he denied him again. And then another maiden did the same thing, and he denied him the third time, and the cock crew again. It's that time, particularly, when Jesus turned around and he was able to see Jesus. Oh, that's where he was scourged. That's a scourging stone that he was taken and scourged. Remember, he went to Pilate. Pilate couldn't find any fault with him. And they said that he was preaching and teaching from Galilee, even unto this very place in Jerusalem. And then Pilate said, "Oh, so you said he was preaching in Galilee? Is he a Galilean? Well, then if he's a Galilean, he's under Herod's jurisdiction." So he sent Jesus to Herod. And Herod, he didn't say anything. Herod was glad to see him because he said, "I heard a lot of things about you. I was anxious to see you." He said, "I was hoping that perhaps you could do a miracle for me." Well, Jesus didn't say a word. It irritated Herod. Herod said, "Well, they say you're a king. We'll make you a king." They put a robe on him. His war soldiers made a crown for him, and they sent him back to Pilate. And that's when Pilate sentenced him. He said, "I find no fault in him." A second time, Pilate said, "I find no fault with this man." But the crowd said, "Give us Barabbas. You got to release a prisoner. Give us Barabbas." He was a man involved in sedition, and he was a murderer. They said, "Give us this man." And they gave him Barabbas. And they sentenced Jesus. And when Pilate finally sentenced Jesus, that's when the first station of the cross was. Station number one was when he was sentenced. The last station is when they took him off the cross. There's 14 stations. It's time to go home.